Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
The language was spicy. The ramifications are near infinite. Just what did the latest landmark case out of the Supreme Court do for American jurisprudence and the Trump administration? Find out on Liberty Nation Radio.
Author, columnist, managing editor of LibertyNation.com, podcast host and conservative policy advocate.
We dismiss history at our peril.
Liberty Nation with Mark Angelides.
Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
That's right. It's time for Florida Man. This is the Dana Show, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. The best ways to stay connected to her and everything she's doing. Producer Steven does a great job, and as well does Dana herself, at keeping you up to date on all the information, all the things going on via their social media pages. We got a few different Florida Man stories. A Florida man was arrested near the Mark Twain National Forest for drug trafficking. This feels like an odd place to do this, although honestly, it's Florida. They're probably doing it everywhere. Well, that sounds like something I shouldn't say out of context. They're probably selling drugs a whole lot of places. But this individual, the United States Forest Service officer William Cox said, was observed in a Dodge van that crossed the center line of Highway 99 in a careless manner. According to the probable cause affidavit, Cox initiated the traffic stop and identified the driver by his Florida driver's license as David Larkin. Cox asked Larkin if he had been drinking alcohol, and Larkin stated that the reason he crossed the center line was that he was attempting to retrieve a soda that had dropped in the back of his car. That's not usually a good excuse. It's better than, yeah, I got a bunch of drugs in here. Officer Cox eventually requested to have the Missouri State Highway Patrol on the search, and substance included methamphetamine, mushrooms, 57 grams of marijuana, drug paraphernalia, all kinds of different things. This is crazy, but this Florida man caught in Missouri for this problem seemed to be just absolutely very much impacted by all the different drugs that he had taken. He also was in possession of different paraphernalia that luckily was not hidden anywhere in his body. We did a story yesterday about a guy out of Florida who not only had the drugs on him, but he hid it in a place you wouldn't want to hide stuff. At least in this case, the dude just had everything on display out there in the open. But I love the fact that his excuse was, I'm just trying to grab a soda, man. And that turns into this whole thing. But that's one Florida man out there living up to his Florida man reputation. Another Florida guy that's in the news is, well, actually a Florida woman who had to tread water for 12 hours after falling out of a canoe. A good Samaritan eventually rescued the woman. This was in Charlotte Harbor. She is lucky to be alive, of course. She's kind of impressively alive because, again, she accidentally fell out of her canoe at around 9 p.m., in what is kind of hilariously called Peace River. That's near Charlotte Harbor. She was found by a good Samaritan, as I said, almost 12 miles later, just a mile away from the shore. She might have been trying to get there. The guy who found her said, I heard someone yelling help, and I looked over, and here's a woman yelling help, and she could wave her hands. Amazing that she could do that with that much time spent in the water. But again, he was able to save her. Maybe she's experienced in this. Maybe she's aware of how to, you know, survive hours of being stuck in the ocean because she's, in fact, from Florida. I'm not really exactly sure. But nonetheless, this is kind of the craziest thing and honestly, I'm reacting to this a little bit oddly, and I'll tell you why. The story about that guy who saved his kid, the guy who jumped in the water on a Disney cruise and saved his child and wound up treading water for, like, I don't know, 40 minutes or something like that before they saved him. A lot of people were saying that's impressive. This Florida woman just crushed that. 12 hours went by between when she fell out of the canoe and when she was inevitably saved. And the fact that the individual in that amount of time was like, I'll be fine, I can figure this out, is part of the reason I think that so many Florida stories go viral. Because even in their successes, the people seem to pretend as though this is just normal happenstance, everyday life, a version of a thing. And she did something fairly incredible. All right, one last story. And to be honest, with these Florida stories, I usually shy away from anything all too violent. But this one, there's something about it that's kind of crazy. Well, there's a lot of things about it that's crazy and horrible. A Florida man who killed his family after his wife sought a divorce is finally set for execution. The Florida man, I think on Tuesday, had a death warrant signed by Republican Governor Ron DeSantis, is a unique piece of crap. He pled guilty in 1996 to three counts of first-degree murder. This was killing his wife, Sylvia, and their two children, who were 7 and 5 years old. Edward is 7. Anna is 5. The reason I bring up a story or talk about this at all, and again, it's not as fun as a bunch of Florida man stories are, and honestly, it's in reference to something I was talking about a second ago, too, or a little bit ago, earlier ago, is harming children is the type of thing that even Jesus said in the Bible is uniquely horrible. The quote, I believe, from the Bible is that if a arm that you have, a hand that you have, would cause you to hurt an innocent child, it would be better for you to cut it off and throw it at the bottom of the ocean than to keep it and harm innocent kids. So it was the most aggressive thing that's in the Bible, where Jesus himself, where the Lord was saying something unique and something, you know, bad. So whenever people are up in arms and have discussions about the death penalty, and I am one who often sides with my faith on that, I do think that people who do horrible stuff like this are the exception to the rule. And I am not at all disappointed to see that this person will be facing justice in the way he will be facing it. It seems like the kind of thing that the family of anyone that was lost would absolutely be thrilled to finally see. All right, we'll take a break. A lot coming up. Greg Collins filling in on The Dana Show.
Our partners that help bring you the program, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service that is in existence. And they want to make it easy to switch, because if you haven't switched, I just don't get it. I mean, it's literally the only cell phone service that's out there that shares your values. And to that point, they want to make it to where you have coverage everywhere, all across the country. I've had coverage internationally. It's never an issue. You can get access to all three major U.S. networks. No compromise on quality for your values. You can enjoy flexible, unlimited data plans, mobile hotspots, international roaming, device protection, internet backup to stay connected. Keep your phone, keep your number, upgrade. They have fast activation from their 100% U.S.-based support team from your home or office. And veterans and first responders get 15% off of their bill every month. And you get exceptional, service. I mean, this is a company that shares your values, and they're not using their money, your money that you pay for your service, to work against you at the ballot box, which is supremely important. Be mindful with how you spend your money. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, or you can call 972-PATRIOT to get started. Use promo code Dana to receive a free month of service. Support our heroes too by switching to Patriot Mobile today. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Listen as students and young adults interview well-respected CEOs on our national radio show, realworldleaders.org, to learn secrets for success and how to use them to propel their careers.
I think it was really inspiring how Mr. Levin just keeps on wanting to grow and like learn more from like the people around him, his peers and his advisor, his father even.
Anya, how do you want to grow?
Well, I'm also trying to grow my communications. I just became the communications chair of my goals TA, student government.
Hey, Brett, This thing about communication, how important is that? And how important is for Anya to continue to develop these communication skills?
It's so important. And I think today, as kids, you have your cell phones in your hands all the time, and learn how to look people in the eye, publicly speak and talk to people.
To hear more and to help us introduce your high school, GED, work ready, and college students to our CEOs, visit our website at realworldleaders.org. That's realworldleaders.org.
For anyone that's unaware, as the show is live, Akeem Jeffries is continuing to talk on the House floor in what is not a filibuster, but it's definitely a filibuster. He was supposed to speak for 1 minute as the minority leader in the House before a vote. He's supposed to get the, simple magic minute treatment, and he stretched it out into a ridiculous thing. And I wanted to check on it. I believe we have some audio of it. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's Akeem Jeffries just doing his best Charlie Brown teacher up there doing whatever he wants to do. You know what? Actually, I do have actual audio. My favorite is that this one moment, this one statement he made has gone viral. And so when Jeffries finds out that a vast majority of the things he said, very few people cared about, which he doesn't know, he's probably not on Twitter as he's speaking now. But when he gets on it later and sees, he'll be fairly upset that this is the thing we all took away. But this is a brilliant, brilliant moment for us to focus on, and I'll tell you why. Here it is.
Manu wasn't the only one. The only American citizen who's been targeted by the deportation machine, a deportation machine that will be unleashed on steroids by this one big ugly bill.
Okay, that's the moment where he's talking about deportation and whatnot, and he says if this ugly, horrible bill passes, then it's going to be a deportation on steroids. A whole lot of people on social media on both sides of the political aisle are yelling, don't threaten me with a good time, because they'd absolutely like to see that happen. And I continue to point this out whenever I talk about this, uniquely on the left, during the Trump administration, or during the Biden administration, excuse me, before Trump retook office, a whole lot of people were realizing how bad it is for a bunch of government money to be funneled to people who don't have the right to be in this country, and all the different things they thought were no longer possible. Not that maybe they were being funded to begin with, but no longer possible because the excuse of we have no money left was being used, like the South Side of Chicago, where a whole lot of Democratic voters, a lot of black individuals were saying their community has been unfairly treated for a very long time and they deserve, you know, additional government support, regardless of if you agree with them or disagree with them. And they were livid that the newest excuse they were being told by a black mayor in Chicago was that he simply couldn't afford it. He gave too much money to the people with no right to be here. And that part is true. The massive amount of spending that has existed in New York and Chicago, all throughout the country, to deal with this is surreal. It's crazy. By the way, I believe Hakeem Jeffries finally finished his marathon speech on the House floor, and we are going to do something that's going to be quite a bit of fun to go ahead and finish this off. So I have some audio of Jeffries that I'll play, and then we'll go ahead and play this guy off. But here we go.
We're going to press on.
Yeah, I don't care.
We're going to press on for our children.
Uh-huh.
Press on for our seniors.
Uh-huh.
Press on for our veterans.
I wish you wouldn't press on.
Press on for our unions.
I'd rather
you stop.
Press
on for our farmers.
Freedom.
Press on for our dreamers.
Freedom.
Press
oh my
on
God.
For working class Americans.
Freedom.
Press on for the middle class.
Uh-huh.
Press on for
yeah,
all
get it.
Who aspire to be part of the middle class.
Can you shut up
press
now, please?
Press on for the poor.
Freedom.
Press on for the sick.
Freedom.
Press on for the afflicted.
Freedom.
Press on for the least.
It would be a little funny if he started saying, like, press on for me. Press on for my family. Press on for, you know, the guy who's going to make me my sandwich later today.
Press on for the lost. Press on for the left behind. Press on for the rule of law. Press on for the American way of life.
Uh-huh.
Press on for democracy. We're going to press on until victory is won. I yield back.
And it's over. It's finally over. Yay. Yay. That's what he deserves for it to be. I love that the end message there is we're going to press on, we're going to press on, we're going to press on, and now I'm done. It seems that he immediately decided to stop pressing on right after claiming that he was going to continue to press on, which is a weird thing to say or a weird thing to do. And I love also that Democrats seem so proud of themselves that they thought of saying the word press on as he's speaking. I'm not sure if that was pre-coordinated. I'm going to assume it was. But even if it wasn't, it wasn't exactly a genius stroke move. And they're all smiling as they're throwing their hands in the air saying, press on, press on. And then immediately, again, the guy ends his speech. You'd feel like that should have probably been the start of the whole thing, where he then does the marathon speaking thing when he claims he will not yield. He will not sit down. He will not be stopped because it's uniquely hilarious. One last time, I feel like I'm belaboring the point, but I can't help it. For someone to say that and then be done something. It would be like me in the middle of some sort of argument, discussion, or anything with the missus and be like, you know what? I'm not giving in on this, honey. On this one, I'm sticking to my guns. On this one, I refuse to be changed in my opinion. And then immediately I'm swayed and I'm like, you know what? Actually, I'm done. Actually, it's fine. My wife might threaten to, you know, not do certain things. I don't know how I can say that different. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, you know what? I lose. I give up.
It's the folks over at All Family Pharmacy. This is a great website that you really need to take advantage of because All Family Pharmacy wants to save you money and they want to help get you around the gatekeepers. You can get your everyday medicines at All Family Pharmacy. You can get the ivermectin and the hydroxychloroquine. You can get antibiotics. Whatever you need, they can work with you. And you can get it in as quickly as 2 to 4 days and overnight if you are in a pinch. And on top of it, they're offering 20% off of your entire order right now. It's very easy to get that discount. When you visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana, you're going to use code Dana20. That's going to give you 20% off of your entire order. So think about like your emergency medications, things that you want to have around your house if you get in a pinch. This is perfect for All Family Pharmacy. I've gotten my antibiotics there. I've helped fight off strep throat. They have doctors they work with. And like I said, you get it super, super fast. No insurance is required. Licensed doctors in all 50 states. And it's fast shipping right to your front door. So visit allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana and get 20% off with promo code Dana20. That's allfamilypharmacy.com/Dana. Promo code Dana20 to save 20%.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
That's right. It's time for the Quick Five on the Dana Show. My name is Craig Collins, filling in. Thrilled to be with you. D-Lash, Dana Lash Radio on X, on Twitter. Great ways to stay connected to her. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine did sign a two-year, $60 billion operating budget. It flattens the state's income tax. It sets aside $600 million in unclaimed funds for a new Cleveland Browns stadium. That was a big deal in the world of football news today. The Republican governor signed the budget late Monday night, about 45 minutes before the midnight deadline. And as you're parsing through all of it, you see just how much money is being earmarked for a sweet, sweet new stadium for the Browns. Whether or not that makes the Browns actually capable of, say, winning a Super Bowl is something that's yet to be determined. But we will see how that goes and what the inevitable result may be. But at least they'll be somewhere swankier. They'll be somewhere fancier as they're losing in heartbreak fashion in the playoffs, which just sounds like a brutal thing for me to keep saying. And yet it's true. And I'm not a Browns fan, as anyone can tell. Although I don't really hate them. How can you hate people that don't win? Anyway, moving on. Other stuff out there. That was probably epically mean. I apologize to, well, nobody. South Park season debut has been delayed by streaming rights that are in limbo. South Park is a uniquely interesting show to me. One, because even though they have a lot of left-leaning thoughts that pop up there, they have a lot of hilarious trolling of the left-leaning thoughts as well. I don't know that I would really consider the people who run South Park to truly be a liberal, but they're certainly no fan of President Trump. So they're definitely people that are willing to go after anyone. But what's unique and interesting about this story is that essentially the streaming rights have become more valuable than the television rights to the show, something the founders and creators of South Park have long fought for and fought to, retain, because I think that more and more people just watch everything via streaming services. There's almost nothing that it feels like, especially Hakeem Jeffries being a moron and complaining for a while on the House floor and trying to filibuster and claim it's not a filibuster. That's the kind of stuff you don't need live television for. You can get the highlights on an X on Twitter and feel really good about yourself. That's all you need. A beloved performer by the name of Red Panda fell off her unicycle and she was taken off the court in a wheelchair during the halftime of a WNBA game. This happened in Indianapolis. The woman is, popular because she rides the unicycle, puts plates on her head, does that whole thing, and apparently quite good at it, been doing it quite a long time. An accident happened right at the beginning of her performance, and she did seem to be seriously injured. She did walk off the court with the help of others. I got to feel like that's a weird moment. You're at the game. I don't think that many people bought their tickets, even to a WNBA game, to see the Red Panda. I think you might have gone to see Caitlin Clark, who was unfortunately injured and didn't play in that game. But when you see that person get hurt during the halftime show or a, timeout performance, I know you uniquely feel bad about them, but you also kind of wonder if maybe they shouldn't have had that plan. You know, maybe they could have done something else during the halftime show. Although I'm sure as long as she's successful at balancing the plates and staying on the unicycle, you're cheering, you're applauding, and then you're waiting for the game to start again. But yes, sad story, definitely something that a lot of people seem to care about because this lady has been performing a lot of places for a very long time. All right, other stories out there as far as Quick Five go. Amazon deploys its 1,000,000th robot in a sign of more job automation occurring. I've said this a few times. Even though I believe in what are aspects of what I think the big, beautiful bill is going to try to achieve, the ramping up of manufacturing, creation of products right here at home in the United States for U.S. citizens, I think what is more likely to happen in the both short and long term is a whole lot of that will wind up being automated. And it can be automated abroad or it can be automated here. We'd obviously rather have it automated here for a variety of reasons. But I think that that is inevitably the future, as does almost everybody else. And this is another one of those signs of our times, seeming to tell us that, this is what's coming and this is how quickly it's coming. And, we'll do everything we can to avoid it. But Truthfully, the creation of those jobs is probably a temporary, not a long-term solution. And then finally, one last one, as far as quick five go, California just rolled back a landmark environmental policy. There's quite a bit to deep dive into here, but the overarching thing, it's a law that was signed in the 1970s. It was actually signed by Governor Ronald Reagan at the time, but it's something that the Trump administration, a lot of these policies, have been pushing back on for quite some time now, and many, many states, many cities all seem to be finally bending the knee. So rolling back some environmental policies and natural and protected land exclusions from certain exemptions does feel like you appreciate, no matter what they say publicly, no matter how defiantly they speak, that the person in charge is definitively the guy in the White House. And so I like that. I'm a fan of that. It's unique that actually the policy was originally signed by Ronald Reagan. All right, we're going to take a break. A lot coming up. Craig Collins filling in on The Dana Show. This is lying for the sake of lying, so let's do this first, and then I'll get to CNN reacting to how good the economy is doing, which they seem very upset about. But this is Brian Stelter being rolled out, the idiot that he is, in front of cameras and microphones. I think this is PBS giving him an opportunity to talk and say how he thinks CBS did nothing wrong, that the way they edited their Kamala Harris interview was standard TV news editing practices, which is terrifying. And I'll be honest about that too. But Brian Stelter, fighting the good fight, at least in his mind, the bad fight to the rest of us, trying to convince us that a settlement from a news organization to President Trump in his library because they absolutely did something they shouldn't have done and not getting the actual court case where we would have gotten even awesome, more awesome information about it, is somehow a nothing to see here moment. The U.S. Citizens should be paying attention to this. The everyday Americans should wonder why multiple news organizations are having to pay President Trump money, and it should be screaming from, you know, their minds and from our mouths that this means that media is as corrupt and lies as often as we think it does, and it's unsurprising. And media is trying to do its best to pretend that that's not true. Here we go.
So, Brian, this is not the first major media company to settle with President Trump. You've been following this, though. Did anything in this settlement or its terms surprise you?
Well, CBS did not actually do anything wrong here. CBS engaged in standard television news editing practices, but its parent.
I love that. CBS definitively changed the answer to a question. An interview question was asked of Kamala Harris. The answer she gave was not actually to the question she was asked, and it was cleaned up profoundly to not sound as loopy and weird, which was a major criticism of the candidate running for the office of president, that she spoke in these giant circles that seemed to make no sense, which is what she did in response to a very important question, and they removed that. But I digress. Standard operating news editing practices.
Our company paid the price anyway, with some people likening this to a ransom or even a bribe. The terms are not surprising because, as you said, Paramount's not the first company to do this. Disney's ABC, in some ways, wrote the playbook that Paramount is now relying on, because last December, when Trump was still president-elect, ABC settled with Trump out of court to the tune of $16 million. So here we are again with $16 million heading toward Trump's presidential library.
I love how he makes that sound as though that's somehow an indication that the money that's being spent on these cases is, you know, not real. Essentially, what I mean by that is he thinks that because both organizations spent the same amount, that that means that they're just giving in or paying a ransom or a bribe and they didn't do anything wrong. When the reality is that the second organization noticed what their mistake actually deserved to cost. So the first organization sets the standard because we've never really seen this. We've never seen a sitting president use the legal system to go after the amount of news organizations he's going after in courtrooms and winning by saying that they deceptively did certain things during a campaign. And so when ABC lost, which is what happens when you settle and give the money, CBS decided, all right, that's probably the amount of money we owe for our version of this crime, which we also committed. I love that to a Stelter, though, it's just simple proof that, oh, that's the number they'll accept. So we'll just do that and we'll make the whole thing go away. I can't understand how there are people in our society who don't think this is an important story and who actually believe the things that Stelter is saying on lying news media, that like it's not a bigger deal that organizations are paying the president and his library significant sums of money as a reaction to the way that they unfairly covered the 2024 presidential election. This should matter. And I know I'm repeating myself in saying it, but I don't know how not to, because it's crazy that it doesn't. All right, quick chat topic change here, and then we'll take a break in a few minutes. CNN's Berman was pained when he had to tell the audience that job losses didn't materialize, that inflation hasn't gone the way that it was supposed to go, that essentially all of the projections about what Trump's tariff threats and then actual tariffs would do to our economy and society just haven't occurred. And so a ton of people, Jim Cramer certainly among them, who said that by now everything would be a, you know, smoking crater of what it was supposed to be, has got to look us in the face and say we were very wrong about this and pretend they don't know the reason why. The reason why, of course, being that all along they should have been aware that nothing would go as badly as they were projecting it to go, and they actually were hoping for a worst-case scenario to blame it on Trump, which is uniquely bad in our society, to have people in media cheering on like an economic downturn that would be catastrophic because they want to be right more than they want their friends and families to keep their houses. That does seem to be a play. But here's the back and forth where Berman is saying he seems to be upset that things just haven't gone completely in the bleep, you know, the way that they're supposed to.
Again, since, you know, March and before, there were predictions that the tariffs, now, granted, a lot of them have been pulled back. Most of them have been pulled back. But all that tariff policy was going to lead perhaps to inflation, would lead to job losses, predictions of doom. That doom just hasn't happened yet.
What is going on? Why hasn't it happened? He's asking his guest, who's going to weigh in with all kinds of stupid stuff.
It hasn't happened. And, you know, John, I've been doing a lot of reporting on this topic. What I'm hearing is that for the last few years, really since COVID, but even before, companies have realized that their supply chains can be interrupted for lots of reasons, for a virus, for a geopolitical event, for a war, for a climate event. And so they've been using technology to really streamline things. They've been getting their systems in place, and there's just a lot more efficiency in the system now.
They can survive it. These resilient, amazing companies can deal with the horribleness that is the president of the United States, is basically what she's trying to say, or the position she's trying to take on that. So that they can be right, media, that things should be bad, but also the companies can somehow succeed because of how much forethought they put into this. There's no chance that the other thing that's true is that it's just simply not having the negative impact that they thought it would have, and things are going way better than you believe they go. That can't be true. That can't possibly be the reason for this. And even some of these policies are actually causing companies to hire even more people with the expectation that you might even create more product here in the United States, which is the entire design in the first place of this whole thing. I love that they wouldn't even dare to dabble in that road.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.